Good morning, Spiritus family, and happy Father's Day. Thank you. My name is Sean Jensen. My wife, Damore, and I just celebrated our 18th wedding anniversary last weekend. Thank you. We have three amazing kids, Mac, who's in 12th grade, Declan in 10th grade, and Bernadette in 7th grade. A few weeks ago, I received a voicemail from Reverend Myra. Now, me being a lawyer, I sometimes assume that anyone who calls me during the workday is experiencing some sort of legal issue or problem. So when I called back and Reverend Myra asked me if I would speak today about my journey of fatherhood, my first reaction was relief. No legal issues. Whew. So I happily said yes. But over the next couple days, as I began to gather my thoughts on speaking today into something cohesive, I started questioning that decision. I started asking myself questions like, is this the right time for me? I haven't graduated from fatherhood. I don't have a handy list of pearls of wisdom about fatherhood that I carry around with me. I'm right in the middle with three teenagers at home. But after talking with Damore and with one of my close friends who's also a father, I got over that anxiety in general and realized that fatherhood has been guiding my decisions for the past 18 years. And my journey of fatherhood began in New York City, where Damore and I met. We were both lawyers at the same firm. That was where we got married and where our curious, compassionate son Mac was born. Shortly thereafter, Damore decided she wanted to take a break from practicing law at that Wall Street pace. Together we thought about the future of our family. And while New York City was home for us for years before that, it was not going to be for us long term. We wanted to be closer to grandparents and our extended families so that Mac would grow up with them around. So we triangulated. Damore's family's in northern Maine. Mine is in the Finger Lakes, and we sort of drew a line, what was in the middle, and landed on Boston. We thought Boston would be great. It's equidistant between northern Maine and the Finger Lakes, and we had friends in Boston, and it wasn't on the same scale as New York City. So in 2007, we moved to the Charlestown neighborhood in Boston. It's a great little community, especially for young kids and younger parents. And in 2008, our determined, funny son Declan was born in Cambridge. We had a couple great years in Charlestown, but it turned out that as well-intentioned as we were about moving where we moved, being equidistant between families when both families are 6 hours away did not equate to our kids seeing our extended families much at all. Plus, in 2008 and 2009, the economy took a real downturn, and things weren't really taking off for me as I had hoped in my career in Boston. And so at that point, we were forced to sit down and think long and hard about what our next step should be. How should we raise these little kids? What was important to us? So we weighed our options, researched various cities, and decided to move to Rochester, to be closer to at least our Finger Lakes extended family. So in January of that year, I got a job with a law firm in Rochester. The housing market had just gone through a terrible bubble, and everything was very slow. So for the first 6 months of that year, I lived in a temporary apartment in Rochester Monday through Friday, driving to and from Boston on the weekends, while Damore stayed in Boston with the kids, dealt with the process of selling a home, you know, with two young kids essentially by herself in one of the worst housing markets. I know it's hard to believe, but that's what it was. But finally, at the end of that 6 months, we sold the house, arrived in Rochester, and started to seek out new friends and find our communities. Part of that decision-making process about moving to Rochester included the decision to homeschool our children. Damore had firsthand experience with homeschool because a few of her younger brothers and other people she knew were homeschooled, and she saw the potential in it. Me, on the other hand, I wasn't so sure. I had to be convinced. I had no experience with homeschooling at all, and I had a difficult time understanding why we would make this choice that was so much different from what most people do. This was 10 years before the COVID epidemic, and homeschooling wasn't nearly as popular, I guess, as it is now. I should have known that DeMoor had put her legal training to work. She had done the research. She concluded that a classical approach to education would be best. In a nutshell, a classical education is language-focused, with learning through reading and critical analysis, understanding the way facts fit together logically in a framework where all knowledge is interrelated. And this was one time where I really stopped and reflected on how I could be the best father I could be. I saw how passionate DeMoor and determined she was about this. So I had faith and got on board. And we've been homeschooling continuously ever since. So right after arriving in Rochester, we signed up Mac for a once-a-week kindergarten-type program that was designed for homeschooling families. It's essentially a co-op run by parent volunteers. And that turned out to be a great and fortunate move for us. We found so many of our family, friends, and community through our involvement in that. To this day, DeMoor is still on the board and very involved with running its operations. And in 2011, a year later, our bold, imaginative daughter, Bernadette, was born. So needless to say, in the first few years following Bernadette being born, we were very busy. Me in a new city, trying to establish my career in a new market, proving myself to my new peers, and DeMoor managing pretty much everything else. But we were committed to raising our family here, wanting to put down roots and not wanting to move again. Now, during this busy time, there's one evening in particular that I think of pretty often from the fatherhood perspective. When Mac was 6 and Declan was 4, Bernadette was only a year and a half, DeMoor had a meeting for the co-op that evening, and so I had the kids. And in traditional dad fashion, we went out for ice cream. Yeah. And in the car on the way back home, our conversation ranged from the ice cream flavors we had to dinosaurs, and then to the fact that each of the kids in the car were born in different cities. And then little 6-year-old Mac came to the very logical conclusion. He said, if we move to another city, we'll get another baby, right? Which was pretty good, right? Now, I could have just laughed and sort of let that be just a funny anecdote for my son, but I'm a lawyer, and previously I was an engineer, and I couldn't just leave it out there and not kind of fix it. So I said, well, Mac, that's not really how it works. You don't just get a new baby by moving to a new place. And then came the follow-up question. You mean you can control when you have babies? How? Yeah, I walked right into that one. So I don't remember exactly the answer I gave, or I can tell you it didn't have a lot of details, but it was hopefully appropriate for that young audience. But the main takeaway definitely wasn't my answer. My main takeaway from that night was me feeling fatherhood really sinking in, and not in some abstract way. Rather, an understanding that my future would involve more and more questions like these, regardless of whether I was prepared for them. Now, our approach to educating our children is a secular, classical approach, but spiritual fulfillment has always been important to us. DeMoor and I were both raised Catholic, and we had really good experiences. We wanted our children to have at least the same chances of finding their spiritual fulfillment that we've had. So during our first 7 years in Rochester, we attended Mass at various Catholic churches all around the area, trying to find the parish community that would be right for us. So often with everything going on and just what it took to get everybody out of the house, we would default by just going to the closest church. But we were never really inspired to take any additional steps toward becoming part of those communities. I'd always assumed that we could just check out some of the nearest churches and one of them would be fine, but it didn't turn out to be so easy. We would gather up kids and go to the family masses, but with our curious, critical thinking kids, very often we would find ourselves in the car on the way home struggling to explain and interpret what the priest said. And then after that, as the kids got a little older, the follow-up questions were even more difficult to deal with us trying to reconcile the homilies we heard with how we live our lives, and in particular, who our friends and loved ones are. And then in 2018, we attended our first Mass at Spiritus. Bernadette was only 7 at the time, but when we left the church that morning, she said, "Mama, I loved that Mass. I loved that a woman led the Mass, and I really liked what she had to say." Reverend Myra's homily that day included unpacking the meaning of a story involving an eagle and other animals, and it really resonated with us. On that ride home, I felt physically lighter. I felt like a weight had been lifted, and from that point, we've been here at Spiritus. Now, Damore and I were never going to give up on trying to provide our kids with opportunities to find a faith community and spiritual fulfillment. But the rides home from Mass at Spiritus were such a change from the rides home during those previous 6 years. Before, I had found myself working hard to tell myself and convince myself that I was doing the right thing as a father with my kids' spiritual lives. And Spiritus renewed my belief that I would be able to do what I had hoped to do and helped me on my journey to becoming the father I want to be. At Spiritus, the homilies are uplifting and thought-provoking and remind me of what it means to be part of this big human family. Spiritus doesn't avoid the difficult topics. We're asked to take a look at this world with our own eyes and see where we can make a difference, how we can deepen our commitment to God and to each other. And we're not asked to ignore half of what we see with our own eyes. To this day, when we get to the announcements at the end of Mass about Connect cards, and Lauren says, "Welcome home," it always reminds me of finding Spiritus. And I find myself hoping that there's at least one person at that Mass that is feeling Spiritus' embrace for the first time. And so, having taken the last few weeks to reflect on my journey of fatherhood, I have a better understanding and appreciation of what fatherhood has given me. A couple weeks ago, I did have some anxiety over what I would speak about, having been given such an open-ended prompt, journey of fatherhood. Being an attorney and formerly an engineer by training, I like my rules and my structure and my specific assignments. But I force myself to reflect on the lessons taught to me by my 3 thoughtful, curious, compassionate, and funny children who are also critical thinkers. Now I look forward to coming to Mass every Sunday. And the routine for us is pretty settled by now. The five of us get into the car. We drop off to more early for some run-throughs with the choir before they sing. Then we park the car and find our seats up in the balcony. Which brings me back to the question I asked myself right at the beginning of reflecting on this journey. Is this the right time for me to be speaking to this congregation about fatherhood? Not an expert, right in the middle, just plugging away. Maybe it would be better if I waited a few years. But just last month, we sent off our deposit for Mac, who will be heading off to college in the fall. So in a few months, it won't be the 5 of us in our routine piling into the car on Sunday mornings. It'll be the 4 of us with Mac on his next big adventure. So for me, this is really great timing. Another chance to say these things before my kids aren't really kids anymore. Last Sunday, Damore and I had the most amazing brunch together to celebrate our anniversary. We talked about everything I mentioned today. We talked about all the things going on in our lives these days, as well as our hopes for our family's future. Damore has been an amazing partner in my fatherhood journey the entire time, including the last few weeks. I love you. So thank you, Damore, Mac, Declan, and Bernadette for inspiring me every day. And thank you, Reverend Myra, and Reverend Seely, and Father Jim, and all the staff at Spiritus for giving me this opportunity to reflect, really giving me permission to stop and set aside time to think about fatherhood, how it has changed me, and how it has guided me, and how I could share that with this amazing Spiritus family that has also given us so much. I wish everybody here a very happy Father's Day. Amen.